Hey everyone, I've been catching up on maybe my favorite, actually not maybe, it is my favorite franchise, Star Wars, and let's continue that today, starting with Mandalorian Season 3. This was a big disappointment. I love the first two seasons, big fan, and I am so disappointed to say that I feel like Season 3 kind of completely dropped the ball on so many levels. I think mainly the writing, just lore-wise, this doesn't make a lot of sense. And when you're talking about something so lore-heavy as Mandalorians and different groups of Mandalorians banding together to retake Mandalore, this could have really used Dave Filoni's expertise on the background of those different groups of Mandalorians. And it felt like they really simplified a lot of that for this show, which was disappointing because they just didn't have Filoni, or he was off doing Ahsoka, presumably. But an even bigger issue is Jon Favreau's just tired. You can tell his writing is declining. Why are they having him write every single episode of this show? It's ridiculous. Get a writer's room. Get some other writers in there. Rick Famuyiwa wrote a couple episodes, or he wrote that second to last episode of season two, and it was incredible. It was one of the best episodes of the entire show. And he's still here. He's an executive producer on the show. He directed several episodes of season three. Why is he not writing episodes? And instead, Jon Favreau, who I love, and I think he's a really smart guy, and he's a good writer, but when he's writing this entire season, he is clearly very tired, and you see it. The storytelling of this season is just weak. The dialogue is weak. It doesn't live up to the standard that was set by the previous two seasons. Let's go episode by episode. So I'm going to open up my Disney Plus and just look at the pictures because those will kind of refresh my memory. Starting with the premiere, I was really disappointed by this. It just felt kind of rushed and lame. And everything that was set up by season two felt like was just overwritten or resolved in the most anticlimactic way. And I guess we saw our first hint of that in Book of Boba Fett when Mando goes and gets Grogu back pretty quickly after giving him away to Luke. But I kind of excused that and I was like, yeah, they should have emphasized the period of time and how long it's been. But you know what? I trust that they're going to do good with this. But they really don't. There's really no reason for Grogu to be here besides, you know, the cynical take, which is to sell toys. And I mean, repetitive, stilted dialogue, random introductions of new and unexplained rules to justify story beats, and this weird over-reliance of Jon Favreau to introduce huge monsters that randomly pop up to then have the characters, you know, fight them and move along the story. It's just so weak. I thought episode two was an improvement. Just about every single aspect of this show was downgraded this season, and especially in the visuals, you can feel the absence of Greg Fraser, who did the cinematography. But episode two is the exception. Rachel Morrison directed this one, who is a DP, so this is the best looking episode, and they nailed the look of Mandalore. The action was great in this episode. They start to do something interesting with Grogu in that he becomes a little bit more of his own character with a little bit more agency, which is fun, and which starts to justify them bringing him back into the show, but of course they never go anywhere with it. So this episode was great. Things were still looking promising. I didn't love the first one, but then with the second one, I was like, yeah, we're back on track. And I will say that Katie Sackhoff, I really don't like the way Bo-Katan was written and the lack of conflict between her and Din Djarin, but Katie Sackhoff really plays it well and she performs it well. And she does a lot to try to overcome the lackluster material she's given. Episode three, The Convert. This was probably the most interesting episode of the season. I mean, okay, I say this as a compliment. But it's also a little derogatory. It can be both, and it's the Mandalorian trying to do Andor. And in some ways, it's cool to see them trying this more nuanced story of these two characters. And I liked it a lot. Following them and seeing Coruscant obviously was awesome. On the other hand, yeah, it's not Andor. And it does reveal that, like, wow, these guys really don't write with a lot of nuance and they can't do that. But I liked it more than I disliked it. And I was like, okay, this is cool. But of course, the theme of the season is just either not addressing storylines or addressing them in the worst possible way. And this never comes back. We never see him again. So that one was annoying. But I will say the action sequence, fight scene, dog fight at the beginning of this episode with Bo-Katan, fantastic, really cinematic stuff. Really great. I love that scene. Then we get episode four. I thought it was just terrible. And this is when I start to get really, really nervous about this season because I'm like, the natural progression of Mandalorian seasons one and two was this guy going out into the world and realizing that his cult and the ideas of his cult are maybe not a good thing, and maybe he can move away from this fundamentalist cult and still be Mandalorian, and maybe if he takes off his helmet, he'll be okay. And everything was kind of, to oversimplify it, leading towards that cult bad theme. And it's not too hard to execute. It's pretty obvious. But then, they just accept him back into the cult. Bo-Katan joins the cult for some reason, which makes zero sense. And instead of continuing the natural progression of cult bad, they decide to go the other way. And this season is more about let's unite everyone and bring everyone together so we can retake Mandalore. And it's almost cult good. And I know this is like, I'm putting it in baby terms, but it's so utterly ridiculous and disappointing. And I mean, atrocious. It's unbelievable the 180 this show did. The driving force of our main character's development, his rejection of this cult, is sidelined in favor of a pro-cult story instead of the obvious thing, which would be Bo-Katan teaching Din to reject his cult. He teaches her to accept it. And this show, it's gone from an allegory of a man overcoming religious trauma to re-embracing the cult that gave him that trauma. It's terrible. It's atrocious. And also, like, the heart and soul of The Mandalorian has always been the relationship between Mando and Grogu. And season three completely sidelines this relationship. It sidelines any semblance of character development at all. The characters in this season are action figures. They're not fleshed out characters, they're action figures. And there's such positives too, because, you've got great direction. You've got great set pieces. You've got some good stuff. Lee Isaac Chung. You've got the next episode directed by Bryce Dallas Howard. Great performers as well. And it's just the material is so bad. Just really dropped the ball. Jon Favreau really dropped the ball. And it's so disappointing. And if I see that he wrote all the episodes for season four of Mandalorian, I'm going to be so disappointed because they really need some more writers in there. Okay. Chapter five was the pirate. I didn't love this one. Again, felt like it should be great, but everything about it was a little lackluster. Felt like the action choreography was lackluster. Visually, I thought this looked like mud. This was a really bad looking episode. I really didn't like the way Navarro looked. Even from season one to season three, the planet just looks worse and worse. Really didn't like this one. What else? Okay, now chapter six. This was maybe the best directed episode. Bryce Dallas Howard did a great job, but kind of pointless, but enjoyable. So I won't hate on a fun side story. Then we go to chapters seven and eight, which were again well directed by Rick Famuyiwa. There's some great action in both these episodes, but it's just ultimately so disappointing. It's the finale, they check every box of like, this happens, this needs to happen, yeah. And they go through it, but they just do everything in the least surprising, least interesting way. And like the Darksaber just gets destroyed, Moff Gideon just dies. He was just using the stuff to clone himself to make himself more sensitive. He gets armor. All of it is just so trite and so uninspired. I mean, I'm struggling to articulate it. It's just bad. It's bad. It's disappointing. Just everything about this season was a case of squandered potential. There were a thousand interesting, fascinating directions this could go, yet the safest and most disappointing one was consistently chosen. Mandalorian season 3, not good. Let's now move on to Ahsoka. Interesting how Mandalorian season 3 was like the fully Jon Favreau show, and then Ahsoka was the fully Dave Filoni show. And Ahsoka was definitely better, and I really enjoyed Ahsoka, but it's still flawed and it's got problems. What I love about Ahsoka is that it is, again, the opposite of Andor. Andor is the gritty, grounded, intricate, complex, down to earth, what does it take to build a revolution? And Ahsoka is the fantasy, Lord of the Rings, high flying, mystical Star Wars. And it's just fun to see both sides of the coin. I think the overall story, very, very good. I think when you get down to the details, again, some of the writing is lackluster. A lot of the dialogue is not good. The pacing, especially in the first two episodes, is like glacially slow. And I think that's Dave Filoni trying to be like deliberate and kind of, kind of vibey and moody and atmospheric and doing the things he does really well in animation. And he's going for that. I see him going for that in live action, and it doesn't quite work. And instead, it just comes across as just slow and boring. But I will say the rest of the season is paced a lot better. Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka, I'm mixed on her because, in some ways, visually, she's perfect looking for the role. In some ways, I agree that she's really flat and bland. And I get that was by design, and I really like when she becomes Ahsoka the White and she's allowed to smile more and radiate more warmth. And I like that. But my issue then comes when the episodes after that, she's still very melancholy and bland and, doesn't put much emotion in her voice. And it's like, now she's Ahsoka the White. Why is she still delivering her lines like this? So I like her in the role overall. I like how you can see that change in Ahsoka as she progresses. But I didn't see that change as much as I wanted to, so I'm still kind of torn. Who else? Natasha Lyonne Bordizzo, perfect as Sabine, visually and performance-wise, no complaints. Iman Esfandi, perfect as Ezra, maybe the best, absolutely no complaints. Mary Elizabeth Winstead as Hera, I think she does a great job radiating the warmth, the kind of motherly warmth of Hera, while also her kind of power and her strength. Yeah, visually, the contacts were a little jarring, but I got more and more used to them as the season progressed. And I really liked her in the role. Lars Mikkelsen as Thrawn. I'm gonna need to see more because I didn't feel him as threatening and as scary as I wanted to. Rae Stevenson and Ivana Sackno as Shin Hati and Baylan Skoll. Fantastic. Really great. Shin Hati is almost like a great silent film performance, and she does so much with so little, with just facial expressions and not a lot of dialogue. And then Rae Stevenson, amazing presence, amazing voice, delivers some amazing lines, amazing monologues, and they're both great. And then last but not least is Diana Lee Inosanto as reprising her role as Morgan Elsbeth. I don't think she's a great actress, but I think she's great in this role. So I appreciated that. For the most part, it looked very good visually. It definitely had like Corellia was pretty rough and it had some down moments, but for the most part, very good. Production design, costume design, very good. The action of the show was excellent. I thought the choreography, for example, like the final fight between Elsbeth and Ahsoka, really great. Lots of great duels. All that was really great. And tonally, it felt like Star Wars. It was fun. It was cinematic. It felt weighty. My issues just come in some of the kind of mystery box storytelling. Like, for example, the backstory on Ahsoka versus Sabine probably should have been revealed from the beginning. And there's a lot that's left ambiguous that shouldn't be, that should be explained. I think this show's biggest successes are bringing those characters into live action, are those performances. And I think Ahsoka's kind of arc and that whole episode, and then the way it incorporated Anakin, fantastic. Hayden Christensen is fantastic. Her kind of world between worlds experience is really great. And I think it kind of weaves in a couple different themes in a really nice way. I love the Night Sisters, and I really like the cliffhanger ending. I really did like Ahsoka. I'm excited to see where this goes next. And with that, we are now caught up on the Favreau Filoniverse on new Star Wars content. I will say, with these two seasons back to back, I'm ready for a little bit of a break from Favreau Filoni. I'm ready for something new. And when I say that, I'm definitely thinking of the Acolyte. I think from even that leaked Star Wars Celebration trailer, that show is going to be incredible. And I think people are underestimating it, just like they did with Andor. And I think it's going to blow people away, just like Andor did. With that, I'm going to end this episode. Let me know, what did you think of Ahsoka? What did you think of Mandalorian? Did you like one better than the other? Are you kind of with me, disappointed in one, mixed on the other, but definitely still enjoyed one more than the other? Let me know in the comments, the email, the voicemail, or the link in the description. Thank you so much for listening and have a good day.